Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. How are you doing? I'm doing awesome because Elon Musk has bought Twitter. We have learned that Twitter has accepted the offer of Elon Musk. It's confirmed. Of course, there's all sorts of verifications to be done, and whether the SEC or the government will get their hands into it. But if everything works, it seems that the business side of it is resolved. Elon Musk will own Twitter and will turn it into a private company with the goal of restoring free speech. Look at the awesome vision I had on my Twitter account. This is what I'm seeing when I log into my Twitter account. Every morning, your account is permanently suspended. After careful review, we determined your account broke the Twitter rules. I've never broken any Twitter rules. They claimed I was doing spam. I'm not doing spam. I'm posting links to my show every night, and they just decided that Entropy was a platform of the far right, and they've designated it as spam. But I was just promoting my platforms the way everyone promotes their platform on Twitter. This is not spam. It's an unfair thing that was done to me. And yet, as I log on Twitter today, I see Twitter has agreed to sell itself to Elon Musk in a deal valued at around $44 billion. I love how this is it's an abstraction. It's an abstraction. Twitter is not worth $44 billion, but Elon Musk is making it worth that. Elon Musk is setting the price for the future of free speech on the internet. He's made a decision and he said he doesn't care about the economics of it, and I believe that's true. He cares about making a message, and this will be a message that will resonate throughout the internet. I can't wait for the little rats to crawl out and disappear of the internet. These Twitter normies, these Susan Wojcickies, to back off and to realize that you're either going to go broke or you're going to change your ways and you're going to stop mistreating the people who have built this virtual world. Because way before any of the people asking for bans on Twitter, way before they were on Twitter, there were people like me on Twitter, and we've made it what it became. If it wasn't of people like me, no one would have ever been attracted by Twitter. So you're gonna have to start respecting us. You're going to have to understand that you are a guest on the internet, and that the internet wasn't built by people like you. It was built by people like me. And we don't ask much from you, Twitter normies. We ask that you tolerate our presence, that you don't overtly attack us using indirect means like finding false violations of the rules, shadow banning us, modifying the algorithm to advantage yourself. Just know that we created this space and that the forces of freedom on the internet are stronger than you think, even as the TOS trust and safety teams have come to dominate the place. There is still a big rally cry for freedom on the internet, and it will not go away. It's a different culture. It's a different world. And I remember, I'm now reminded of this interview I did with CBS. And basically, the guy was laughing at me. I drove to Montreal to make that interview because they really wanted to make this. What they told me was a show about YouTubers, but it turns out that the show was called, of course, he didn't reveal to me the name of the show. Eventually, we learned that it was called The Extremist Next Door. So I was featured on The Extremist Next Door. I knew that was it. But during the interview, one segment he didn't publish was him asking me, so what do you think will happen with the internet? I mean, you guys are going to be excluded. You guys are going to be kicked out. And I said then And he laughed at me. Not laugh in a very clear way, just he had this little dismissive attitude toward my sentence. I said, the forces of the internet are profound, and there will be events that will eventually restore free speech on the internet. We don't know where it will come from, but the drive for freedom on the internet is at the very root of the existence of this virtual world. And one day, things will fix themselves. And these forces will come into action when called upon, when their actions are worthy. And we will rebuild the world if we have to. We will rebuild a second internet. But most likely, the internet as you know it will recover its roots. And this is what we're seeing this week with Elon Musk being the first in the counterculture, if you will, of the internet, going against the grain of censorship. And that is massive for me. It's massive for the right. It's massive for political justice in the domain of expression. Let's be clear, there were alternatives. Gab was there. Truth Social was there. So we built alternatives so that we would have leverage. But the true goal should be a truly open internet and people with principles guiding these companies, which we haven't had for years now. There was a true technocratic takeover of the corporate world, and Elon Musk is now, as the richest man on the earth, is now throwing a wrench in their bicycle wheel, and that's beautiful. Gino Fano says, I'm reserving applause. I'll believe it when I see it. Sharia says, was Twitter even worth that much? I've said it at the beginning of the show. The value is an abstraction. It's a meme. It's a joke. No Twitter isn't worth that much, and nothing is worth that much. But what's the price for free speech? Elon Musk wanted not to pay for the right valuation of something. He wanted to buy something that cannot be bought. And at this current price, who in the world could buy it, really? You'd have to have really the biggest companies of the world get together to just block Elon Musk, to keep free speech from happening. Mama JF says, do you think you will be unbanned? I believe I will be unbanned. I believe that give it a couple of months and Elon Musk will unban me. I hope so. If Elon Musk gets this message, Elon, I have been banned under absolute dark circumstances where it was claimed here that I violated spam rules when in fact all I did was promote my show on Twitter. And everyone can promote their show. So CNN doesn't get banned for spamming CNN links. So make it fair and unban me from Twitter, Elon. I'm a nutter, I'm a scientist, and by the way, I have a theory that you should be interested in, the revolutionary phenotype. Now, I've moved on from Twitter, you know, it's not like it's gonna change my life, but I would like to be back on there to just represent a part of the internet that is not represented anymore on Twitter. That has been banned from it, that has been harassed, that has been written it pieces about. I want to go back there to write the thread of all thread. The title of my Twitter thread will be, Dear Twitter Normies, we hate you. We will always hate you because we know what kind of genocidal fucks you guys are. But we're back and your little gay, all rainbow, LGBT utopia is gone. We're going to destroy it, and we're going to spend the rest of our lives destroying it so that we can restore the original state of the internet where anyone could say anything. Fuck you, we hate you, and us coming back here is just another step in the plan. We know what kind of sick freaks you guys are, and we know that in your dream world, we're gone, but it won't happen. Never forget that you're a guest on the internet. We're the builders of it. Fuck you, we hate you, and we're back. That will be my Twitter thread if I'm allowed back on the platform. Twitter expected to accept Elon Musk's bid to buy the company. Twitter is reportedly prepared to accept Elon Musk's offer to buy the company, $54.20 per share. The deal could be reached today if negotiations go smoothly. Can you imagine? I mean, they were making a representation of all the Twitter employees. Live shot of the Twitter HQ at this very moment. Oh my god, the ring! It's the ultimate ring of the internet. Imagine the possibilities. I mean, it's not just about me coming back on Twitter. I don't care all that much, to be honest. My life has been pretty healthy since I'm out of Twitter. But imagine the possibilities for memetics, for the whole bridge between 4chan and the normie world of the internet. I mean, this is what Twitter can become. We can do Trump again. We can do right-wing memetics again. Everything can change. And the Twitter normies, they know it. They know it's coming. Because when they saw what happened in 2016, they promised to themselves, we're never going to let this happen again. And yet, here we are at the doors of the underworld, reawakening something that was artificially extinguished, something that they tried to push under the carpet. And the CNNs of this world are worried because the way mainstream platforms rose on the internet to re-become the norm, you know, the way CNN became a big YouTube channel, the way Fox News became a good YouTube channel, this was done artificially. It was done by a cartel. It was done by a bunch of corporate criminals that are currently at the head of YouTube, at the head of Twitter. And now this cartel has been bought out. And now they're going to be gone. There's going to be no way. And the Twitter employees will either adjust to this new reality. They will either be able to live by the standards of Elon Musk's free speech, or they will be fired. I hope that Elon Musk isn't a soft beer. And you know what? I have clues that Elon Musk is a trustable entity. I have clues that Elon Musk is capable of harnessing a corporate structure and submitting it to its will. Because here's a couple of things. First, the culture at Tesla has turned very different than any of these left-wing places. Despite the fact that Tesla is ultimately dependent on a left-wing scam, which is the whole idea of let's save the world by creating enormously costly, environmentally damaging batteries. So let's push this under the side. But even if the core of Tesla is leftist, and right now, the people who are nervous at free speech on the internet, actually, they're probably overrepresented in the Tesla owners category. That's a fascinating thing. The people who are alarmed at the idea that Elon Musk will give free speech to Twitter, they own Teslas. But that's because in the sick leftist system that we live in, you end up having big salaries if you are a leftist, and the corporate world is leftist, and the state is paying big salaries also, and those are the people who end up buying Teslas. So yeah, and Elon Musk, you know, let us remind ourselves that Elon Musk has been the target of lawsuits for racism in the culture of his company. And I've consulted the details of these lawsuits, and what I conclude is basically there was in the corporate lifestyle of people at Tesla, there was an ongoing atmosphere of edgy racist joking. Now, it's not terrible, and I don't think someone should be sued for this. But the important thing to retain is Elon Musk is capable of sweating that freedom into his companies. Elon Musk is capable of pushing his quirky vision of the world onto his companies, and he's capable of going against the grain. He doesn't care about generating bad publicity. So I think he can do it with Twitter. Now, Twitter, as someone was pointing out, you know, fixing Twitter from its leftist culture is harder than sending a rocket to Mars. That is an interesting point. But I think that Elon Musk can do it. I want to trust him. So I'm going to look forward to his actions and hope that we can get a place of freedom on the internet. Once Twitter has gone private, what can hurt it? Well, there could be perhaps platforms like Google Android could ban them if they go to free speech. So they're going to have some terms against hate, some terms against whatever. But I think that what Elon Musk will do is ultimately a system of pardon. So it's going to be like, yeah, there's still going to be rules and you're going to have to be careful about it. But they won't leave up a post that causes issues that could get them banned from the App Store. But they will allow you back on the platform after a certain moment. So this will fix a lot of things. Epstein's Island says, will they allow the N-word? I don't think so. I think, don't expect actual free speech from Twitter, which is why this is not an announcement that leads to Gab becoming obsolete or useless. There will still be a market for things like Gab. I don't think that Twitter will go full free speech, because you have to realize just how much full free speech is undesirable. Like, full free speech is like there's going to be crimes committed on the platform, okay? So I don't think Twitter wants to go there, but I think that what there will be is a more human approach and much less going after people just because people that wouldn't otherwise cause trouble. Because take my account, for example. There's no way anything I would say on my account would lead the Google Android App Store to ban Twitter. Saying, oh, you don't ban JF, we're going to ban you. No, it wouldn't happen. So Twitter went after me just out of spite, or perhaps a dark corporate funding asked for me to be kicked, perhaps someone who didn't like me or someone who wanted to clean the right from the internet. And maybe my Twitter account got bought in a batch to some technocrat executive who has been asked to kick me. But or maybe it was just a Twitter employee having seen one of my debates and didn't like my arguments, and he decided to be a little biased when it came to me. I don't know exactly what happened, but this kind of banning is probably what Elon will eradicate eventually. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? If you would like to support the show, use the Odyssey Super Chat option. It's the dollar button right below the regular chat. It's the right way to support the show, and Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. We received a super chat during the night. Sentient Potato sent $10. Thank you so much. He says, no JF on my day off. It's a bummer, but that's okay because he's now a plumber for my bro who makes science sexy on me. Have a Diet Pepsi. I hope you enjoy my song with no drumming. Here I go. I'm plumbing! Well, thank you very much for the super chat. And yes, I did miss a day of show for the important task of plumbing. And I'm not done. I have further plumbing that will come. But I'm very happy with my progression. At this point, there's nothing I cannot do. Nothing I cannot fix in the house in terms of plumbing. I've understood it all. So, What are the news? Last week, Elon Musk decided not to go to the board that gave him the power to make aggressive offers. And we had some indices, we had some clue that the Twitter board would show themselves to be an obstacle in the acquisition with their poison pill strategy. That was weak. That was pathetic. That was the system trying to claim its claws onto the company. Totally unfair to the other shareholders. They developed a little strategy for defense. And they were ultimately bound to fail, because no matter what they were doing to protect themselves from Elon, eventually it would have led to Twitter being valued less than what Elon was proposing. Twitter board folds, unanimously approves Musk taking firm private for $44 billion. I can't believe they just let a billionaire buy Twitter. Media person who works for a company owned by a billionaire. There is so much triggering because these companies, CNN, Fox News, we used to beat them. Independent creators used to be bigger than these companies on the internet. And we had, I mean, I was bigger than CBC. I was bigger than a Canadian organization on YouTube that is funded by the $500 million. Do you realize what this means? I had a bigger Twitter account than them. I had a bigger YouTube channel. So this whole takeover of the internet that has happened was an artificial puff of hair. And it was due to fail because anyways, these organizations have lost at the free market game. But they had a trick in their sleeve. They had the corruption of the corporate entities like Twitter, like Susan Wojcicki, and they played the game of favoring them in the algorithms, which is another reason why Elon Musk wants the algorithm to be open source. What that means is that there cannot be tricks behind the veil. If you have tricks that favor certain Twitter accounts, they would have to be revealed publicly. Now, it's not so important to have an open source algorithm. What's important is that by the fact that it's opened, the Twitter employees will keep a little shame. They will be like, oh no, we can't put this in the algorithm because it's going to be exposed. People are going to know about it. Right now, the problem is that the algorithm is used as a black box for corporate secrecy and for manipulating the free market in a very clearly human-driven way. Like, we know how the Google algorithm behaves in the free way because we won it. People of the internet won at the YouTube game 5 years ago, and we knew how to win, and the rules of the game were known even if they were never written. But the rules of the games have been changed by people like Jack Dorsey, Susan Wojcicki, Vijay, Sanjay, whoever, all these trust and safety terrible people, they've changed the rule of the game and they never revealed what were the new rules. But we know it's we know the new rule is you lose if you're an independent creator. So thankfully, this will all change with an open algorithm. CNN is triggered. In an internal message to employees obtained by CNN, Twitter CEO Parag Agrawal said he would hold an all-hands meeting with Taylor on Monday afternoon to answer questions about the deal. I know this is a significant change, and you're likely processing what this means for you and Twitter's future. What Musk means for Twitter. Musk is both a high-profile Twitter user and a controversial one. He has more than 83 million followers on the platform, which he has used over the years for everything from sharing memes and discussing his companies to insulting politicians, spreading misleading claims about COVID-19, and making offensive remarks about the transgender community. Oh my god, when they pull these things, you know CNN is not happy. what about the transgender community? Elon Musk, as far as I know, is a quite open guy, and he's not been anti-transgender. As far as I know, what they're referring to, maybe the Babylon Bee article with the Men of the Year award. You've reached a point where your incapacity to digest the views of people like Elon Musk and people like me make you totally unfit to understand the world, CNN. Musk has repeatedly stressed in recent days that his goal is to bolster free speech on the platform and work to unlock Twitter's extraordinary potential. Make Twitter better than ever by enhancing the product with new features, making the algorithms open source to increase trust, defeating the spam bots, and authenticating all humans. People have been complaining about this whole authentication of all humans. I don't think it's a big problem. I mean, I speak from maybe a place of privilege, but I work under my real name, so there's no secret about me. I'm not an anonymous e-celeb. But I think it makes total sense. First, Elon wants to democratize the system of blue verified check marks, because right now it's used as a symbol of status display by the Twitter journalist and the mainstream journalist of all kind. I think this is due for fairness. And what Elon Musk wants to do is anyone who has a credit card, who has confirmed his real identity under some form, will have the blue check mark. That is absolutely important. And I don't think this means there won't be anonymity anymore on Twitter. I think if you wanna use a proxy and you want to start an account without the blue check mark, totally fine. And I think these people who are anonymous should be treated fairly by the algorithm. I hope that this is what Elon has in mind. This is what I would suggest would happen. Now, there are big questions. Will someone like Donald Trump be allowed back on the platform? Because I don't see why Donald Trump wouldn't be back by the standard of Elon Musk. He's merely been using his free speech. He's not been calling for violence. Basically, he was banned on the claims of election interference. It makes no sense to keep him banned in the current situation. So I would hope that Trump will be back on Twitter. Now, meanwhile, we've seen the Truth Social of Trump go totally down in value. I don't know where it's at now, but I think it had dropped by 15% at the middle of the day. It's understandable because these alternate platforms have nothing going for themselves in a world where Elon Musk truly frees Twitter. They literally have no advantage. Gab still has an advantage because Gab is genuine independent infrastructure and it's genuine First Amendment free speech, which I don't think Elon is capable of doing. So something like Gab can survive, but Getter, Parler, forget it. I wouldn't be surprised that in a week from now, they will close something like Parler and maybe something even like Getter or maybe Truth Social. Despite the high valuation, I don't know where Truth Social can be headed in a world where free speech returns to Twitter. Tuttle Grimm sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, should Elon set a mandate for all Twitter users with rainbow flag emojis to undergo gender reassignment surgery to show their solidarity with the trans community? I don't think that this one would work, but I do think that there should be a commission of reconciliation, truth and reconciliation, about what has happened on the internet in the last 5 years. And I believe that there should be leftists whipping themselves, basically self-flagellating and asking for apology for the informational genocide that they tried to commit and that they failed at committing. this is what I would want in an ideal world. I don't think they will have that. I don't think they'll have that, the presence of mind of realizing what they've done. But they have imposed their cognitive standard on other people in an imperialistic and conquering way. They have lived in contradiction with their own stated standard. They have imposed thought control on the internet, and it's been painful. It's been painful seeing what was once free become non-free. Gray says, don't like it, just buy your own Twitter. Well, that's exactly what Elon Musk just did. Meanwhile, Elon Musk is the subject of a lawsuit on Tesla because he had done a tweet that was saying funding secured, that was for taking Tesla private, I believe. And it was judged as a misleading tweet because it wasn't totally true, and people have made market decisions based on this tweet. And he was complaining at the Saudi wealth fund head in tweets exposed by funding secured lawsuit. Okay, that's, I think, you know, Elon Musk is a free mind, and I don't like that we live in a society where you can sue someone for expressing an opinion about the state of his funding just because it misled you to make a market decision. Justed says, just got here, Odyssey only allows 4 minutes back, gets worse every week. Well, Justed, you know, we have the chance of at least being in a space of free speech here. I'm sorry if you're missing the show, but at the same time, I make everything to make sure that it's available. I publish an MP3 minutes after the show. You can watch the video minutes after the show is ended. So, you know, just chill. Scientists discover heart inflammation more prevalent among vaccinated than unvaccinated. Heart inflammation requiring hospital care was more common among people who received COVID-19 vaccines than those who did not, according to a new study of tens of millions of Europeans. Rates of myocarditis or pericarditis are above the levels in an unvaccinated cohort, pegged at 38 per 100,000 after receipt of a second dose of a vaccine built on messenger RNA technology in males aged 16 to 24. Thank you for releasing this information, but there were severe and serious suspicions about it already. So we knew that this would be the case. These extra cases among men aged 16 to 24 correspond to a 5 times increased risk after Comirnaty and 15 times increased risk after Spikevax compared to the unvaccinated. So this is important given that the medical community has veered toward a fascistic, authoritarian imposition regime for vaccines, and you are imposing suffering on people who would have otherwise not had heart issues. You are causing damage. You are making the decision for people, and then that decision includes risks that you don't have to live through. It's the people who get vaccinated who have to live through having a heart issue and being hospitalized and paying the fees of the hospitalization. Because guess what? If you're in the US, imagine you're in the US, your heart starts to tingle, you need to go to the hospital. Just how many thousands of dollars will you waste? Even if you stay at the hospital just a couple of hours for monitoring. So we have to be careful. We have to never let the authoritarianism that has risen in the medical community and public health, we have to never let them take control of this again. The Lawrence sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, that is a great Twitter bio you have planned. Have you written it out and can you gab it out, Lawrence? No, I've just thought about it in my head, but I don't think that gabbing it will have the effect that it will have if I just wait. I will wait to be unlocked on Twitter, and I will publish this thread, you know, in this way that these, you know how they publish, time for a thread. And I'll be like, time for a thread, you fuckers. I think this will have more impact if I wait and use it only on Twitter. Because, and I understand, the Gab people don't like hearing about Twitter. And I understand that because they've been leaving this platform. They don't want to hear about it. They want to build something better where they are. And that's totally understandable. So I really don't like annoying the Gab people with Twitter concerns. But to me, Twitter still matters because Twitter is this place where we built our internet businesses and we were then deprived from it. So to me, it still matters to regain, to reconquer this place. Donald Trump held in contempt for not complying with New York subpoena. On Monday, New York judge Arthur Engoron held former President Donald Trump in contempt for failing to comply with a subpoena related to State Attorney General Letitia James' investigation into the Trump Organization. Trump was ordered to turn over materials sought by James and will be fined $10,000 per day until he does so, according to the New York Times. So the lawyer of Trump says we tried. We're not trying to violate the subpoena. We tried complying, but the judge doesn't believe us that we complied and we released everything we got. So I don't know what will happen with this. I mean, these can get really grave. $10,000 per day. That means 365 times 10,000. That's $30 million per year. Is that it? 3 million dollar per year. $3 million per year. This can be a good hit on Trump, and it can get graver also. So, hopefully, perhaps Trump plans to appeal, and perhaps he can make the case at the appeals level that he has already complied with the subpoena. But it's a very tough thing. It's when a judge is convinced that you're hiding something, and imagine you're not hiding something, it can, some people have been imprisoned forever, for years, saying, I don't know, I can't tell you because I don't know. And the judge is convinced that he knows. Tillman says, JF, you should title it Time for a Thread, Motherfuckers. Yes, something like this. Dear Twitter normies, time for a thread, motherfuckers. Yes, I think that would be a great intro. Viva Frey on YouTube is exposing something that I'm very glad that me and Mama JF left Quebec, because Quebec is veering, it's removing all parental rights. There is a new bill, it's not enacted yet. The new bill states that the parent is not the best entity to determine what is in the best interest of the child.
Montreal litigator turned YouTuber, and this is Winnie the Westie, who is yearning for an afternoon nap. Quebec is back in the news again, and back in the news for the wrong reasons again. From CTV News, Youth Protection, Bill 15 to prioritize interests of children over parents. Now, I know what some of you out there are thinking. Viva, you're getting too black-pilled, you're getting too cynical. How can a law, the stated objective of which is to prioritize the interests of children, be a bad thing? Well, here is the potential conceptual problem. Who determines what is in the best interest of the child, if not the...
Yeah, that's the problem. Because who determines the best interest of the child? It's going to be a bunch of bureaucrats and technocrats who will who will ask a judge to find them to be right, and they will always be right by the eyes of the judge. And so you're going to end up with the vaccine is always good for your child. So if any parent doesn't vaccinate their child, then they hate their child, and then it needs to be removed from them. So glad that we're out of Quebec. Quebec is about to fall under absolute state control. Guy from V says, JF, people who have been banned are showing up saying they've been unbanned. Well, that's great. But I think it's unlikely. I mean, perhaps the perhaps the plebs have been already freed. Perhaps the technocrats at the head of Twitter have known that, all right, Elon is coming for us anyway, so let's unban. But I don't think it's going to be happening that fast, although that would be a nice surprise. Someone has sent this on the Discord server. Evolutionary trajectories of complex traits in European populations of modern humans. Our results reveal that after the Neolithic, European populations experienced an increase in height and intelligence scores. This decreased their skin pigmentation, while the risk for coronary artery disease increased through a genetic trajectory favoring low HDL concentrations. These results are a reflection of the continuous evolutionary processes in humans and highlight the impact that the Neolithic Revolution had on our lifestyle and health. Literally, they are tracing back the history of how white people became white people. So that's fascinating. I've not read the full article yet, but thank you for sending that. It sounds like a very interesting read. Google rolls out feature that corrects you with woke inclusive language. This is exactly the kind of thing that is that I hope that the Elon Musk move is merely the beginning. I hope that eventually a lot of companies out there are going to be awakened that we can't hurt ourselves with that much crap. Inclusive warning, some of these words may not be inclusive to all readers. Try instead property owner instead of landlord. Motherboard. They're attacking the terms landlord and motherboard. Oh my god. They're attacking language, and it cannot be very good. The optimistic pessimist says, JF, did my entropy super chat go through? No, I have no sign that you have sent me an entropy super chat. I've refreshed my two windows, the optimistic pessimist, so perhaps there was an error. Perhaps you didn't send it at all. Or you sent it and there's an error in the display, but I'm pretty sure I'm well logged in, so I would see it if a transaction had happened. So feel free to resend it if you would like. Over $13 million in Bored Ape NFTs stolen by hackers. These freaking NFTs, man. Millions in Bored Ape NFTs were stolen after hackers breached the Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT project, then advertised a fake distribution of NFTs known as an airdrop, which tricked users into clicking a malicious link that gave control over their wallets to the hackers. There's just too much openness and too much functionality with this crap. They made the MetaMask thing, which basically allows you, you're on a bad website, you don't know, they trigger a little pop-out that says, can you give us permission to your wallet? And people have gotten used to say, oh yes, I can trust this website, but it turns out they're on the wrong website. It's like, property should be linked to simple systems. Not this complicated crap where you give authorization, where you don't know if you can trust the other partner. That's a big failure of the whole smart contract world, it's getting too exploitable. It should be simple. That's why Bitcoin is so great. It's that there's no way you can be deceived about Bitcoin being in a wallet unless you really trust a website that is totally another website that you shouldn't have trust to start with, to begin with. But now we have a couple $1 million stolen in NFTs. But what will happen with these crappy images? Will they be worth $13 million when the thieves are selling it? There is no place left to hide. Mike Wilson says the bear market is about to turn grisly. I don't know. I don't know what will happen with the bear market. Will everything crash now? Personally, I've held my Bitcoin, so if there's a bear market, I'm just going to hold my Bitcoin for 2-3 more years, and I'm going to wait for the next halvening, because all of these events, like Elon Musk getting Twitter, this creates the circumstances for a mimetic explosion 3 years down the line. Can you imagine the next halvening with Donald Trump president? Donald Trump chilling on Twitter, insulting Rosie O'Donnell for the 10th time. Elon Musk just publishing repeated mimetic pictures of Bill Gates' pregnant man emoji. I mean, it's going to get wild. It's going to be beautiful. The optimistic pessimist says, which Entropy account is the correct one, JF? Well, the link to my Entropy is right below. Right below the video. So if you click on that link, you will land onto my page. So if you send a super chat to that page, I should receive it. I'm constantly updated if there's a super chat sent. So yeah, I think we could get out of a bear market with Elon Musk restoring free speech at Twitter, Donald Trump becoming president again, or maybe something even more mimetic, something like Ron DeSantis. And a full resurrection of right-wing mimetics. Even the Catholics will get in with the Nick Fuentes of this world. And I think we can make the world great again in a couple of years from now. And as a conclusion to tonight's show, the situation on the war of Ukraine, we have a continuation of the line, the axis of bombardment here, some progression of the Russian troops and where they bombard, because we've seen these cities getting targeted like Apostolov and other cities. It seems that a major point of advancement for the Russian army will be right here. Kherson has also been a major seat of interventions, capture of public buildings, although Kherson has been controlled by the Russians for a while. They have been making takeovers of buildings in the last day. Lots of explosions heard in Mykolaiv, in Odessa, right here, to continue this line and make the bridge toward Transnistria. So Mykolaiv and Odessa are the two last big centers that would constitute an obstacle to the Russians just gathering a full land bridge toward Transnistria. And then there will be this pocket of resistance here, and of Ukrainian resistance, and see what's up with it and what they do with it. Justet says, conclusion, what the fuck? I just got here. Well, you know, sometimes the news days are small. Sometimes they are long. And if you want to make the show longer, it's quite simple. You send me questions. You send me free questions on Entropy if you don't have money. Or if you have money, you send me super chat and I'll be able to I'll be obligated to stay here and answer all of them. The optimistic pessimist has succeeded at sending his super chat. He says, could you have decentralized gene editing that doesn't lead to a phenotypic revolution? It's true that in my book, I I present a centralized control of genes. But here's the thing. Any sort of decentralization you would like to apply is a centralization from another perspective. So suppose that decentralization, what would it look like? Well, suppose that in my chapter 12, instead of having a single company that takes over the control of the genetics of humanity, suppose you have 10,000 companies. Now, the 10,000 companies will still create a bunch of humans, each of them. So the humans that they will modify, they will end up, there will be more than one human per company. Now, imagine even more decentralization. People are saying, do it yourself, genetic modifications. Okay, suppose hackers are starting to modify their own genes. And it never builds into a company, never builds into a central system. The fact is that even decentralized like this, this part of humanity will take an evolutionary direction of some kind. There will be more this and less that, whatever that is. They might be more social or less social. They might be more beautiful or less beautiful. It really doesn't matter the amount of decentralization you do, because whatever the evolutionary direction that they take, they will then be encouraged at reinforcing the specialty that this direction represents. Suppose that they're better worker. Well, they will then evolve to be better workers. If they're better scientists, they will evolve to be better and better and better scientists. So even when you go fully decentralized in the control mechanism, you're still centralized in your common interest. And because of this, I would say you still constitute a kind of breakaway genetic direction for humanity. Now, there is one thing that has to happen for a phenotypic revolution to be completed. And it doesn't really have to do that much with centralization. It has to do with copying. So what has to happen is that the recipes for genes eventually have to have a mechanism of copying. But it's not super hard, even in a decentralized biohacking community. It's not very hard for the genetic tips and the genetic methods to eventually spread themselves, to become a replicator. Even in the decentralized system, you would have friends, you would have parent friends who have done these genetic modifications, and you would see the result, and this would influence you in turn. So it's very hard to have an actual, genuine, non-copying system of genetic modification. It's in the nature of humans to copy and to imitate. And we are, when you think about it from a species-wide perspective, we are one of the most easy to victimize species because of our tendency and our willingness to copy that much, to imitate. Everything we do is imitation. All the culture, you know, look at all the art, all of it is inspired by some previously existing art. Mama JF says, the database is centralized. It's like the dictionary. There's different companies that produce dictionaries, but the information contained in it is the same. Very nice metaphor there, because it's a true parallel. Indeed, language is the perfect example of something that is decentralized in the mechanism, because as Mama JF points out, there are different companies of dictionaries, but they all have to look at reality, to report about the reality and about something that people can recognize as English. And similarly, a decentralized genetic modification system will have to have its poles, its pillars, its inspiration that will all come from the same place. Fadam says, decentralized gene printing just means many printers being selected for their capacity one moment. JUS means many printers being selected for their capacity to print good mutations. The more decentralized the printing, the more opportunity for selection. It's actually worse than full centralization. Yes, we shouldn't ever mix ourselves. The message of my book is not about centralization of genes and its dangers, although it's an inevitable conclusion that once the good recipes for humans are found, inevitably there will be many humans who want the same gene recipe. It's just the nature of phenotypic revolution. It's just how they turn out to be. You know, how many RNA segments exist in our cell today, but only a handful of DNA segments. Only a handful of DNA chromosomes encode a lot and a lot and a lot of RNA chromosomes, if you want to call them that way. That's just how phenotypic revolutions work. It's because once the best genetic mechanism has been found, there's lots of interest by a lot of the native replicator to encode themselves in that form. Justet says, JF, did you acknowledge the passing of Le Démon Blanc yet? He will get a state funeral on May 3rd in Montreal. Hashtag rest in peace, Guy Lafleur. Okay, I didn't know that he had died. I'm not particularly moved. I wasn't attached to Guy Lafleur that much. I mean, he's been inspiring. And when I was a kid, I was watching his hockey matches. I guess that there's a little discomfort around Guy Lafleur, because he ended up being the father of a guy who was committing rapes or abusing women and was mentally ill. And many times I've seen Guy Lafleur come into the media to basically make his defense. I don't know if I'm confused. Is that Guy Lafleur? Guy Lafleur, son. Marc Lafleur, that's the name of his son. And I've always been shocked by how the link of family ties would lead him to defend someone who, yes, was mentally sick, and it led him to create to commit actual crimes. And I've always been feeling, I'm thinking of Theo Fleury. Is that for real? I want to be sure that I'm not reporting a falsehood here. I don't think I'm thinking about Theo Fleury. It's hard to find these facts when everything is about the death of Guy Lafleur. Oh yeah, okay. He was arrested, yes. So he's the one I'm thinking about. A string of burglaries, see? He was committing burglaries. Marc Lafleur, son of Montreal Canadian hockey legend Guy Lafleur, and three other men were arrested in Blainville. Blainville is where I used to work, in the grocery store called Maxi. So, I mean, I could have been the victim of Marc Lafleur. He could have went after me. And he could have burglarized my home, burglarized my property. So a series of burglaries carried out in Pointe-Claire in the fall. Montreal police spokesperson Constable Benoit Bessel said three of the suspects arrested would appear at the Montreal courthouse on Friday. Mark Lafleur's lawyer, Mia Manuccio, confirmed that he was arrested, questioned, and released. In order to be released, he agreed to appear in court. Okay. The arrest come a month after Police Station 5, blah, blah, blah. There were 17 reported break-ins in 2016. Some residents reported receiving anonymous phone calls during which the caller would not speak. The residents would receive calls, believe this was a way for the thieves to verify if someone was home. Pretty sick. I've seen Guy Lafleur appeal to empathy for his son. I don't want to be the party pooper here. Guy Lafleur has died, and I don't want to disrespect his body or whatever. But to me, there was always this discomfort after, you know, being the hero that he was in the hockey matches. To me, there was a failure there, a failure to lead to a decent son, and a failure also to understand that when you're a public personality and someone has committed a crime like this, don't go out on the public space to defend it. That's my take. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Free Twitter. People have asked me, Jeff, is your account still banned? People are getting unbanned. My account is still permanently suspended. I've just refreshed the screen. So I think that our liberation will come. I think it's going to take a couple of months, but our liberations will come, thanks to Elon the Great. Thank you.